Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He has told you, O people, what is good. There's no guessing, no grasping at straws, no shrugging our shoulders in bafflement. In the Bible, we read that the work of God's goodness is all around us, revealed when we make connections between life on earth and the Word of God. In Micah, we learn that because of this, we no longer sit around just pointing our fingers at others. God is certainly in the act of calling out tyrannical practices to the nations to account. It's the bread and butter of minor prophets like Joel and Amos and Micah. We're called to the work of truth-telling about what we see in others that happens all around us. But the story doesn't end there. We are expected also to look at ourselves, to ask questions inwardly, to the ways we are implicitly or explicitly working against the grain of God's love that runs in the world. For the people to whom the prophecy of Micah is written, this took the form of out-sacrificing themselves. And here Micah shows us the problem. God isn't invested in us separating off our religious lives from what we do with the rest of our time. Instead, Micah tells us that the good stuff, the stuff of God's life, the adventure of following after God, is built into the world around us. We come here on Sundays to testify to what happens the rest of the week, to thank God for it, and to mourn the places where our disconnection from God's love for every person around us causes disaster. The other reason we gather here on Sunday is to tell the story to each other of the way God is working out a life integrated into justice and mercy and humility. We need each other to tell the story. We cannot do it on our own. So today we'll hear two reflections on a well-known passage from Micah. When asked what it takes for him to come before a holy God who is able to shatter our divisions and bring peace to creation, the prophet responds with my primary language of sarcasm. Should I bow down weeping on the floor? Shall I parade in 1,000 bleeding, stomping rams to the altar to impress God with my sorrow? Shall I enroll my firstborn child at Duke Divinity School to become a pastor as tribute to the church? No, Micah tells us. No. Dear ones, you already have been told what is good. What God wants from you is a life of justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God.
Good morning. So I find it appropriate that today we take time to talk about kindness, being that this coming Tuesday, November 13th, is World Kindness Day. Plus I think we can all agree that our world and our communities need to see a little more kindness to overcome all the hatred, violence, harassment, vulgarity, and inequality so prominently seen all over. With kindness, however, we see that another world is possible. This week I reflected on the verse of Micah 6:8, a verse I regularly heard while studying at Eastern University. This time, I focused specifically on what it means to love kindness. Psalm 89 shows us that kindness and justice are defining words of who God is. Verse 14 reads, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thy face." In Galatians, we see that kindness is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. As Christians, it is a characteristic that should describe each of us as evidence of being followers of Jesus. It is a characteristic we should put into practice until it becomes mostly natural, emulating the kindness we see Jesus exemplify in the Gospels and the kindness that we continue to experience from his regular blessings poured upon us in the present day. God expects us to show love to others as he has shown love to us. I think to love kindness, we are to incorporate it into our own daily habits and also recognize and acknowledge it in the actions and words of others. We should regularly express gratitude for the ways we have seen individuals show kindness to us and other people, to encourage one another to continue spreading kindness. Since starting to attend Raleigh Mennonite a little over a year ago, I have been moved and inspired by the kindness that you all share with one another, the community, and our world. I am extremely thankful to have been on the receiving end of that kindness. This week, I reflected on specific ways I've seen many of you and other people in my life model kindness. And now I'd like to share a slightly lengthy list, but not exhaustive, of examples that I recall and am grateful to each of you that I have witnessed. So kindness is seeing older students that are caring for the younger without being asked. Kindness is a note of encouragement to a colleague who is having a bad day. It is holding a friend's hand during her sister's funeral. Kindness is praying for one another. Kindness is listening before speaking. It is apologizing when you've wronged someone. Kindness is welcoming the stranger. It is protecting our environment so that others can enjoy it in the future. Kindness is filling a lonely woman's home with light and laughter. It is not just feeding the hungry, but breaking bread with them. Kindness is babysitting for the single mom. Kindness is helping someone move into a new home. Kindness is a phone call to check in on someone. It is helping the lost traveler find their way. Kindness is sending a care package to someone who's moved away to remind them that they're not forgotten but dearly missed. Kindness is seeking to understand and know a person without trying to change them. It is volunteering in children's ministries to let the little ones know that they're valued members of our community. Kindness is advocating for those that society ignores and doesn't give a voice. Kindness is making sure your elderly or sick neighbor has a ride to their medical appointments. Kindness is sharing your gifts and talents with the church. And kindness is helping others realize what their gifts and talents are. I encourage you to take time this week to reflect on the ways that you have seen kindness around you. Thank someone for the kindness that they have shown to another, and seek ways to add kindness to your life. Without kindness, there cannot be justice, and humility is needed in order to put both into practice.
So I want to look at what it means to walk humbly with God. And so I want to talk a little bit. First of all, I want you to understand what has shaped my understanding of that. So I'm going to tell you just a tiny bit about three things from my background that has helped to shape that. So one is I'm a cradle Mennonite, which means that my Mennonite ancestors immigrated here from Switzerland. I didn't go the Russia route. I went the Switzerland route. And there is a graveyard in Edom, Virginia, not far from Harrisonburg, where there are five generations of weaver buried, and they were all Mennonite. So I come through my Mennoniteness not just from a place of belief and faith, but there's an ethnicity to it as well. There's a culture that's intertwined with that Mennoniteness. that can be good and that can be bad. But that is to say that being Mennonite is also part of my identity in a way that I'm constantly having to unravel and think about. The second thing is I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and social justice, as well as a modernization of Mennonites. I can remember when I was baptized wearing the covering, and then I remember when we stopped doing that within our church. So this was a time of a lot of upheaval, not just politically, but socially. And the Mennonites had the Mennonites in my Mennonite community had a pretty unique approach to what social justice meant. And certainly they approached it with a pacifist underpinnings as opposed to some of the more violent forms. But it was really in front of me and constantly being talked about, and it shaped me. And then lastly, I grew up with two parents who really enjoyed learning about other, especially in terms of intercultural experiences.
And so we traveled quite a bit simply because my parents loved doing that. So I've lived in almost every continent in the U.S. and have been exposed to valuing and respecting other in that context. So all of these things have influenced how I interpret walking humbly with God. First, I would say to walk humbly does not mean to be passive. And a lot of my role models have been Mennonites who have had very strong convictions and have followed those convictions with very strong actions. So, examples, my ancestors who, because of their convictions, were persecuted in Switzerland, some of whom gave their lives. My ancestors more recently who were conscientious objectors during World War II. My sister and brother-in-law who chose to live below the poverty line so that they would not have to pay taxes to the war machine. Even Janet Fields, who has worked for Doctors Without Borders, which came with some sacrifices. And although I'm sure it gave her more than she lost. And another one I put down was John Paul Lederach, who I mentioned in my little biography in the bulletin, who was somebody who placed himself in very difficult conflicts and acted as a mediator. And that's something I really, really respect, because he was putting his beliefs into action. So what does all this have to do with walking humbly with God? I would say that all of my upbringing has really emphasized the need to be a servant leader. So you are acting on your convictions, you're leading out of those convictions, but you're doing it as a servant and as a servant of God. You are not doing it for your own glory, for self. You're doing it to be in right relationship and to bring God's kingdom here on earth right now. I fall short of this ideal quite often because I'm one of the younger ones in my family. I'm quite self-centered. But there's one place where I do think it comes out fairly well in my personality, and that is when I do study abroad with my students. So I feel really strongly you should not go into a culture other than your own without respect. And what that means is stepping aside from whatever thoughts you might have about your culture being the right one and listening. And I take students often to do service learning, which is, you know, a type of volunteering, and it's often health-related volunteering. And we do that so the students can be immersed and can really interface with the culture in a stronger way. But I spend a semester before they go trying to help them subtly learn that they're not going in there to save these people, that they're going in there to listen. Because the people know more what they need than what you do. And there are assets that they can build on, and it's about empowering, if anything. But the biggest thing I want them to walk away with is knowing that they have gained a lot more than they've given, to respect and understand how much they're learning from the cultures that they interface with. So walking humbly with God, I would say, for myself as well as you, identify your convictions, live deeply into them, but do it as a servant. Find ways to listen to others. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing of your own personal experience.